Right, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 7. Mark, chapter number 7, verse number 6. Mark 7 and verse number 6. Beginning in verse number 6, the Bible says, "He answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and of cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. Lord, thank you that you didn't leave us without a Bible. Thank you, Lord, that you've left us the precious, inerrant, infallible word of God, that we might be able to navigate our way through this dark world on our way home. God, we thank you for the reality that we'll never face anything in this world that has a question mark looming over it, that the answer can't be found in your precious word. And we thank you for the precious Holy Ghost of God that abides in the heart of every believer. He became a constant companion the very instant they were saved and will abide faithful forever. And Lord, he is the one that helps us understand your precious word that you've given us. So, Lord, help us tonight, Lord, as we've read this text. Lord, help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Help us to handle it aright. God, help us to please heaven with all that we say and do. God, I pray for your people that would have ear to hear what the word of God would say to our hearts tonight. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, we've read from Mark chapter number 7. We've read verses 6 through 9. That's really not the entirety of the text. For time's sake, we've read that. We'll reference a little bit of what came previous in chapter 7. We'll say a little bit about what came after. But this is the bulk of what we want to look at in verses 6 through verse number 9. What we're looking at tonight is the traditions of men. The traditions of men. That's what's referenced in our text. In verse number 6, Christ answers a question. It says, "He answered and said unto them." Well, he's speaking to these Pharisees, to these hypocrites. They had just asked a question in the previous verse, verse number 5. And what their question was, they said, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of our elders? They said they eat bread and they don't wash their hands. Why do they do that?" And that was a very serious, serious transgression as far as that Jew was concerned. Now, he didn't ask anything about them breaking the law, but he said, "What about this breaking the tradition of the elders? What about not following the traditions of our elders?" And that's what leads to the discourse that follows, where we picked up in verse number 6. And of course, we read through 9 and it follows on after that all the way down through verse number 13 and really beyond that. So what happened, his disciples, Christ's disciples, they've eat bread and they didn't wash their hands. Now, that's a bad idea. Me and you know that, but I don't know what their situation was. I'm sure that they didn't have a restroom handy to wash their hands. But the tradition of the Old Testament Jew in this time was that if they went to market and got something to eat, they wouldn't eat unless, matter of fact, the Bible says, unless they washed oft or often. They would not dare eat anything without washing the hands. And there were many such traditions as what the verses previous and to this says. It tells us that there were many in verse number 4, "and many other things there be which they have received to hold." So that's talking about those traditions. There was many other things that they received to hold. They took these traditions in, they received them, and they held them. Now I want to say something before we go any further in this message tonight. Tradition is not wrong nor bad just because it is tradition. It's not. There's good traditions. You'll find teaching in the New Testament where it talks about that that it's not a bad thing for us to honor the tradition of our fathers. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, that's a good thing. But what the problem is here is the level of elevation that the tradition of the elders had been lifted to by these Jewish people. It had been lifted not only equal to the law, but it had been lifted and elevated above and beyond the law. And Jesus points that out to them in the verses beyond what we've read tonight. And so I want to be clear on that. The traditions that they had were not bad in and of themselves. The traditions that many modern day believers hold are not bad in and of themselves. It's when you take and misplace the tradition, and what I mean by misplace is elevate it above the Word of God, is what I mean. Traditions, the way that I would explain it, and maybe you would agree with this, and maybe you wouldn't agree with this, but it's my view on it. I'm going to share it with you. I personally like firearms. I have quite a few. I probably don't have as much as I would like, and I certainly have more than Shanda thinks we would need. But, you know, some people like collecting arrowheads. I like firearms. But a lot of people have strong opinions on firearms one way or the other. But some people would say just blanket statement, firearms are bad. Guns kill people is what they'd said. And they say, you ought to outlaw guns and you ought to go and take everybody's guns. And I couldn't be more opposed to something than I am to that statement there. Guns, firearms are not bad. And I'll say this, they're not good either. They're inanimate objects. And whether a gun be good or if a gun be bad is solely and totally determined by whose hands it's in at the moment. And traditions, though not in totality, but to a great degree, traditions follow that same truth. Traditions, there's nothing wrong with a tradition in and of itself. But when we get to the point to where we mishandle and misplace by putting the tradition above the Word of God, that's when we have a problem. And he said there was a lot of things, and we could go through and name a few of them for you in the Old Testament Jews' day. As far as tradition was concerned, that they elevated the tradition above the Word of God. But the one that Jesus used to strike their heart with, really he picks that up in verse number 10. And we've discussed this with you earlier on our series on the Sermon on the Mount. So there's not a lot of need for us to go into great detail with it tonight. But in verse number 10, he said, for Moses said, that means the law. It's within the law when he says, Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. That's law. That was the law. Verse 11 says, but ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered and made, and many such like things do ye. And so what he's telling them there, you remember we told you how, according to the law, persons to honor their father and mother, and that still stands today. This is not the message we're preaching, and I don't want to get too far off course, waste time, and chase a rabbit. But it's irrelevant how old you are tonight. If you're 15 years old, or 35 years old, or 55 years old, however old you are, if you have both or one of your parents living, you're to honor them. That don't mean that you necessarily agree with them on every position that they take. But I'll tell you what it ought to be. Again, 15 or 55, no matter. It ought to be yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. It ought to be yes, sir, and no, sir. It ought to be if you do disagree with them, you ought not to talk about it publicly. in front of your family and that sort of thing. You ought to always try to say positive things about your parents. Honor your mother and your father. Honor your parents. And that has no, we have this idea in American society that when you turn 18 years old, that somehow you're just free from everything. Can I tell you what really 18 means? It means you're legally responsible for your own foolish decisions. And that's about all that it means at that point. But we are to honor our parents regardless of how old we are, regardless of how much smarter we think we are than they are. There's nothing much more distasteful, in my view, and I think in the view of many other people, than to see adult children and even adult grandchildren be irreverent toward their mother or father, grandmother or grandfather. You've got those in your life that are, you know, 60, 70, 80 years old, and just because they don't know the lingo, and just because they don't know how to work the gadgets, and just because they don't know you fill in the blank, you talk down to them and try to embarrass them. And then just because time is sneaking up on them and they're forgetful, or they stagger around, or whatever the case would be, and you shame them, or you laugh, or you talk bad about them. I'll tell you who that makes look bad. It's not the elder in that case. It's the younger that looks bad in that case. Always honor your mother and father. That's the only commandment with promise. And if there was no promise to it, do it just because it's right. Do it just because it's right. But he said what they had done. They were commanded, as any is commanded by God, to honor their father and mother. And honoring your father and mother is a lot more than just those things that I just named. That's just elementary level. But it goes further than that. What he means, if you take it in its totality, when he says honor your mother and father, was when they get to a place to where they can't provide for themselves, then you take care of them. They lived in a different society than we did, in a different culture. That doesn't mean that the Word of God changes because we've got a new society or a new culture. It's still true. What I'm saying is this. They didn't have Social Security to draw from, like a lot of us are probably not going to have it to draw from one day. They didn't have Medicare. Isn't it Medicare that you get when you reach 65 or whatever the case is? They had nothing like that. They lived in a tough agrarian culture. Hardly anybody could have worked enough to save up what we'd call a nest egg for retirement or anything like that. Oftentimes, they'd live together in family groups. It wasn't uncommon at all for grandma and grandpa. And then whether it would be their son or their daughter, they would live with them. And then the spouse of that child of theirs and all of their children lived there together. And some of y'all can remember days when that wasn't uncommon for grandparents to live in the same house with the parents and the grandchildren. It was that way in my house growing up for a little while. I had a granddaddy that lived with us for a while. That was the way it was. Why? Because honor your father and mother meant much more than yes sir and no sir, and yes ma'am and no ma'am. It meant they fed you when you couldn't provide for yourself, and when they can't provide for themselves, then you return that honor and you provide for them. That's exactly what it meant. And so what they did, that was the law, that was the commandment. And what these Jews done, they were so religious, they were so externally pious, they wanted to look holy. The most important thing to them was not to be right with God. The most important thing to them was to look like they were right with God. And so they couldn't just be sorry and say, I ain't going to take care of my mom and daddy. I'm too stinking greedy. I want to keep my money for myself. So what they allowed within their tradition, if I was of age and my parents were needing me to take care of them, and I was greedy and I didn't want to spend what it would take to honor my mother and father and take care of them, then I could take whatever necessary funds or whatever it might be that they stood in need of that I had, and I could say, oh, mama, daddy, I really would. And you don't know how bad I'd love to. And it breaks my heart to tell you this, but it's Corbin. And when I said it's Corban, what that meant is I have already given this to God. This is going to be God's. I'm going to give this to God. And that made it off limits even to your mother and father. And of course, they never followed through with actually giving anything to God. But what it done is it relieved them, it relinquished them of their responsibilities bestowed upon them through the law of Moses, which said, honor your father and mother, which would mean even to take care of them when they couldn't take care of themselves. And that's what Jesus is talking about there when he started talking to them in verse number 10 about the matter. And here's how he summed it up. He said, when they do that, he said, verse number 13, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions. That's what he said is the end sum of it all, making the word of God of none effect. The word of God said, honor your mother and your father. But through your vain traditions, you've said if it's Corban, if it's a gift to God, even though the word of God, even though the law didn't provide for us to allot something to be Corban or a gift for God, we're going to make it our tradition. We're going to interject this. We're going to interpose this. And this is not only going to hold as much weight as the law, but it holds more weight than the law. Tradition, vain tradition. And through their tradition, they defiled themselves. And listen, it didn't die when the Pharisee, when the last Pharisee died, that train of thought, that way of living didn't leave the religious realm. It's alive and well today. Just one example. The Catholic institution is riddled with tradition. It is absolutely riddled with tradition. Things that are no more rooted and grounded in the Word of God, things that can't even be found in the Word of God, they hold to. And they don't mind telling you. That it has precedence over the Word of God. This idea of the rosary, and you may not even be familiar with these terms, but the idea of a rosary, this idea of praying to Mary, this idea of purgatory, some limbo in between heaven and hell, this idea of a pope, none of that can be found in the Word of God. None of it can be found in the Word of God. It's their tradition. And they don't mind telling you it's our tradition, but their tradition takes precedence over the Word of God. Even their Pope, did you know that he has the authority? And aren't you glad we got a new Pope? I mean, he is the vicar, they call him. You know what that means when they call him the vicar? It means Christ on earth or in Christ's stead here on earth. He is Christ's representative, his ambassador here on earth. And so with the absence of a Pope, therefore, you'd have the absence of Christ's presence on earth. And I'm just glad that we got us a Pope now so the Lord can be with us again. And you know I say that sarcastically and tongue in cheek. The Lord never left us. The Lord's never been involved in the Catholic institution either. You said, Brother Ronnie, you seem like you've got a little something stuck in your craw there. You better believe I do. You better believe I do. I'll never forget pastoring a little old Baptist church down there in Louisiana surrounded by Catholics. You want to talk about wished you had died, buddy. That's how they feel about you. Now, they don't want you there. They don't want you there. And I remember a young little old couple lived across the road from us in this slummy trailer park that we lived in down there. And the old boy get up and go to work every day and just the nicest people you could imagine. And come to find out, they had an infant baby who died from sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS. And he was talking to me one night about it. And he opened up a little bit, telling me about losing their baby. And he asked me, did I know where his baby was? And I said, yeah, I know where your baby is. Your baby's in the presence of God, according to his precious word. That's what David tells us. And so he said, well, my priest told me. He said, we couldn't afford to pay him to do a mass. And he said, my baby wasn't baptized. And we couldn't afford the priest. We couldn't afford the $100 that the priest required to do a mass for a funeral. And he said because of that, that our baby had no hope that baby would be in hell. And me being the tactful Baptist preacher that I am, I said, let me tell you what you go back and tell your priest. You tell your priest that you met an independent Baptist preacher that assured you that that baby's in heaven and will be there forever waiting on you and your wife if y'all ever get saved. But if that priest continues on believing and teaching what he's believing and teaching, he'll fry like a sausage in hell right beside the Pope forever. Now, I know that was unkind, but it was the truth. It is the truth. And how pitiful I felt for that young man sitting there. And he was raised in that, Sister Willistine. He believed that as much as you believe water baptism. That's all he'd ever been around all his life, and he didn't know any different. And can you imagine sitting there having buried your little old baby less than a year old, and the person that you place confidence in as a man of God tells you your baby is in hell? How you deal with that? I know I didn't say anything nice about his priest, but thought about asking him, let's load up and go to the priest's house and give him a good what for and work him over real good. It's what he needed. But we didn't do that. And I say that sarcastically, but vain traditions of men. That priest that told that young man that, he knows that purgatory is nowhere in that Bible. He knows that the Mass is nowhere in the Bible. He knows that sprinkling babies and calling it baptism is nowhere in the Bible. He knows that. But yet the traditions of men, he lifts above the Word of God. And we could go from one group to another and look at different religious groups just within the realm of Christianity and their vain traditions and their traditions that they lift above the Word of God. But I want to go back at this point and remind you of what I said about traditions to start with. Now, traditions that are false teaching, that are absolutely, contrary to the Word of God, such as teaching a purgatory or something like that. Now, that's out of the pit of hell to start with. But there is a such thing as a tradition that, as I said earlier, is not bad. It's maybe not even necessarily good. It's just neutral. It's just your way. And we have that, do we not? Every culture has some of that. Every civilization has some of that. Every people group has some of that. Listen, every church has some of that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I like to watch people. You learn things about people and different cultures, and it's amazing how you can move from one area, you can move 100 miles away and see a difference in culture and how people do things. I was observing today at the funeral, after the funeral, I was observing how they do things after the funeral as a funeral home, and I told Shanna, so they do things different here than we do back home. I've never seen them do it quite. When we have a funeral, up in my part of the country, now when the funeral service is over, they call all the family out first and get them to their vehicles and seated and all of that, and then they single file everybody else out, and all the center of the focus of attention is on that funeral procession. And in the funeral today, everybody kind of gathered around back in the foyer and stood there and talked. Brother Ronnie, which one of them's right and which one of them's wrong? Neither one of them. Ain't neither one of them right, and neither one of them wrong. But that's apparently the way we do it up there, and the way y'all do it down here. Neither one of them's all right with me. Be just fine with me. Now, that's a very small thing. That's just a little observation that I noticed today. But what I'm saying to you is within churches, even within the same groups, in other words, within Independent Baptist Church, one Independent Baptist Church may do things a certain way, and another Independent Baptist Church may do it another way. As long as there's no clear directive in Scripture as to how you ought to do that, then neither one of them are wrong. They just have their tradition of how they are doing that. All right? Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's okay to have tradition, and tradition is not bad. What we want to focus on tonight, and we'll finish up pretty quick, is being careful about not letting your tradition do what the Jews done and let it rise to a point of being equal to and even superior to the Scripture. It wasn't bad for them to wash their hands. It's a good thing for them to wash their hands. But it's a bad thing for them to change the Word of God by their tradition. It's a bad thing. Listen, it was a bad thing for them to look down their nose at those disciples because they didn't do it that way. They didn't have any law on it. It's just their tradition. But they looked and said, you didn't wash your hands. You ain't as good as we are. You be careful about that sort of thing. And I don't know of it. I don't know everything. I don't know everybody. But I hadn't met a denominational group. I hadn't met a religious group yet that doesn't have some of those things within it. Not one. And we just want to be careful here that we don't ever do that. We've got our traditions. And you know what we're going to do with them? We're going to keep honoring them. We're going to keep upholding them. But we need to also always be mindful to know that our tradition is our tradition. It's not our commandment from God. It's our tradition is what it is. And we always need to be very mindful of that. I've been a member of, all the churches I pastor, I guess 5 independent Baptist churches. Every one of them were different. They had different distinctives about them. They all believed the same fundamental truth, the same core doctrine. They believed those things, but they were all different in some ways. I'm thinking of one church, for example, and I never was comfortable with it myself, but after somebody sang a special, everybody would applause. And you said, Brother Ronnie, what do you think about that? Not much. I don't think much about that. We don't do that here. The church that I really cut my teeth on, Independent Baptist Church, first one was a member of there. They didn't do that. And so that's just my way. And I understand why they don't do that. I know why they don't do that. Or at least the way I can tell you how it was explained to me. Way back in the early crusade days, I say way back, middle of the last century, in the early days of the Billy Graham type crusades, that's when that became a thing. Used to, it was not heard of. That people would applaud in a church because that was something you did to honor performers and performances. And so it's completely unheard of. So then you began to have these crusade type meetings and they would have people singing and it got to where people would applaud. And so your more conservative churches, they never let that enter in. It took hold and it started coming into a lot of churches. And so a lot of you more conservative churches, they held off on that course. Over the course of time, a lot of them sort of said, well, it'll be all right. It won't hurt anything. And so they started doing that. Now, there's still some very conservative churches. And whether you know it or not, we would be considered a ultra-conservative church. We don't do that. We got no intentions of starting doing that. None. So, but at the same time, what you need to understand is, we don't necessarily have Bible on that, all right? It's our tradition. So you go to a church and somebody sings a special and everybody starts clapping their hand. Don't get afraid that God's going to nuke the place and blow it up. You need to hurry up and get out of there. It'll be all right. It'll be all right, honestly. It will. And God won't judge you for being in the middle of it. You said, Brother Ronnie, what are you doing in a case like that? Well, if I'm in a church and they all start applauding, I just let them applaud. I say, amen. I'll say amen 2 or 3 times while they apply. I don't, but they ain't going to hell for doing it. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody's all right. Some of y'all look like I make you nervous talking about stuff like that. I'm going to tell y'all like old Mr. Jesse, the old black fella that works for me. I love him to death. He's about 75 now, and when he's looking at you, he can look at Shannon and Brother Ernest at the same time. And he'll pick them inmates up in the morning sometimes, bringing them to work. They'd get so nervous because, man, he's bobbing and weaving. He'll bump the white line, the rumble strips, and be over on the yellow line. And one of them got so nervous one morning, he said, "Ho, Mr. Jesse, I thought you was finna hit that." He said, "Son, don't get scared till I tell you to be scared." He said, "If I ain't scared, ain't no need for you to be scared. So don't be nervous. If I ain't nervous, ain't no need for you to be nervous. Don't let stuff like that make you nervous." He said, "Brother Ron, we've been doing it like that forever. We'll keep doing it that way forever." But it's a tradition. That's all I'm wanting you to understand. It's a tradition. It's what it is. And what we say, traditions ain't bad. And traditions can be good. But we need to understand that's not doctrine. And what these men did is they looked down their nose on another fellow who didn't wash his hands. We ain't going to look down our nose on somebody that don't. We're going to keep doing our way. Because that's our way. They can do it their way because that's their way. Amen. Now, there's thing after thing in independent Baptist churches that we've had for years. For the longest time, it was considered, well, a preacher that had a beard, he just wouldn't get a church. He just wouldn't get a church. He said, well, Brother Ronnie, you ain't got a beard. I don't. I've had one before. I don't have any plans on growing another. And I can't grow a good beard. If I could, I might would grow one. But I know this much. I know the one that died for me had a beard. I know that. I know that. You say, well, I don't like them. Well, keep not liking them. It's okay. I didn't tell you to start liking them. But now, at one time in independent Baptist churches, as I said, a man that had a beard, he didn't stand a dog's chance. I know that he's dead now, but I wouldn't dare call his name. But one of the more noted men in our circles of independent Baptists back in the 60s and 70s and probably well on up into the 80s, if you were introduced to him and you were a preacher and you had facial hair, if he was about to extend his hand and he realized that you were supposed to be a preacher, he'd pull his hand back. He wouldn't shake your hand. Now, that's between him and God, but now that's tradition is what that is. That's tradition is what that is. And you don't have any more grounding, any more standing to say that a man ought not have facial hair. Matter of fact, now I'm going to lose about 3/4 of you here. The man that has facial hair, he's probably got more ground. He's got more biblical ground than you do for his position. Don't get mad and swole up at me. We're still friends and I still love you. But he's got more biblical ground than you do. Now, the New Testament, a lot of things changed when we come into that dispensation of grace, didn't it, Brother Ernest? A lot of things changed when we come into that dispensation of grace. But, you know, in the Old Testament, one of the things they did to shame David's military men, their enemies did, they shaved them down, shaved their faces. And those men wouldn't come back around their families, wouldn't come back into the camp until their beard grew back out. And we know that Jesus had a beard. And it'd be all right for Jesus to preach for me if he is here today. It'd be all right for Jesus to preach for me. So I'm saying that if we're not careful, we'll let traditions get out of hand. Brother Ernest, I know you remember back in the day when horn-rimmed glasses was a big thing. I mean, get warped up over the craziest things. Back when the Beatles was a big thing. If somebody had glasses that looked like John Lennon's glasses, I mean, it put him out of the church house. It put him out of the church house over such as that. He said, Brother Ronnie, you going liberal? Take a nitroglycerin. It'll be all right. We ain't going liberal. I'm trying to explain to you the difference between tradition and doctrine is what I'm trying to explain to you. There's a big difference. And we ain't giving up on our tradition. We're keeping our tradition. We want to understand the difference between tradition and doctrine. Tradition and Bible. There's a difference between the two. I'll tell you another one. And I've never asked anybody here how y'all feel about it. So, I mean, I know what I've observed. So, but that don't necessarily mean you feel one way or the other. I've never seen canned music used here. I don't know if all of you know what I'm talking about when I mention canned music. That's what old timers used to call it, was canned music. That's soundtracks. If somebody wants to sing a special, soundtracks. You know, they play it over the intercom and they sing along with it. And some churches use soundtracks or canned music, as I call it, and others don't. I'm of the tradition that I don't like soundtracks. I don't care to use them. You say, now give me your chapter and verse. I never indicated I had one. But I don't like them. And I've never seen anybody use it here. And y'all may love them. You may have just lost your soundtracks, been looking for them all this time. I don't know. But I don't like soundtracks. That's my tradition. I'm not for them. I'm against them. But let me say this. Just because I'm against them, don't mean that another church is outside of the bounds of grace when they use a soundtrack. That's their business. Listen, as independent Baptists, here's what we believe. We believe in the autonomy of the local church. And they are, what that means is we believe in the individuality, so to speak, of the local church. We believe victory can be victory, and they don't need to call unity and get their opinion about what they decide to do, and vice versa. Same with Calvary. We don't have to call Calvary and ask him about what we're going to do. I don't know if they use soundtracks or not, or don't care. And I'm not going to call and ask what they think about it. But if I go down there and they're using one, it ain't going to hurt my feelings or make me mad. And I'm going to walk out of there knowing that I ain't got a verse of scripture in the world to contradict it. And I'm going to come back in and we still ain't used them. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm telling you. There's a difference between doctrine and tradition. And we ain't giving up on some of those things I mentioned tonight make some of us old stuck in the muds and fuddy-duddies. That's exactly what I like being. So won't be giving any ground in those areas. But now I know men. I have good friends who will look at a church that uses canned music and literally say, hey, liberals, they use canned music. Well, I'm thinking, well, if you heard how your wife sounds playing that piano, you might want to go to canned music too. Amen. They're not liberal because they use canned music. They're different from us, amen. And we don't have to join up with them. They don't have to join up with us. There's a difference. And we want to always guard that. You know what we want to do? We want to keep our tradition. You know why? Because it's worked this far. It's worked this far. And it served us well. And we keep it. You say, I like the sound of that canned music. Brother Ronnie, why are you against that canned music? Well, I'll tell you why. Since you asked, I wasn't going to tell you, but since you asked, number one, it's a headache for the preacher. That's exactly right. You don't know, and it's a risk for me. Listen, somebody comes in and says, can I sing a special today? And you tell him, yeah, well, they go to the sound man, tell him it's track number 9. He sticks it in there, and the next thing you know, it sounds like Led Zeppelin wearing a guitar out. If you're going to allow such as that, you need to have somebody, if not the pastor, somebody that knows the pastor's heart toward music, and listen to every one of them. And like he said, you don't know who's playing that music. You don't know. See, what we prefer, what we're going to have, is people who you know have a walk with God. People that know God and live for Him. I'm far more interested in your walk with God and your holiness. I'm far more interested in that than I am your skill set, your talent. I would rather somebody get up and play the piano and sing a song that's not super talented but has a walk with God than somebody that is super talented that doesn't have a walk with God. You know, there's some very talented people out there that don't have a walk with God. You ain't got to do anything but watch about one of them Gaither tapes, and you'll know that. Guy Penrod's very talented, but he's about 12 years overdue a haircut. You know, Guy Penrod, I'm running rabbits now, but it'll be all right. You ain't got nowhere to go. Guy Penrod used to teach at Liberty University back when Liberty University believed something. And back then, the rule was the hair had to be off of the ear and off the collar. And some of you know who Brother Tony Hudson is. Brother Tony Hudson was going to school there. And Guy Penrod wrote him up, gave him so many demerits because his hair was either touching the ear or touching the collar. I can't remember which. Wrote him up for that. Now, if you know who Guy Penrod is, anybody know who Guy Penrod is? I mean, you can make 3 good wigs out of that dude's hair nowadays. Yeah, but he said he took a Nazarite vow, so it'll be all right. Took a Nazarite vow. But anyhow, he don't look too Nazarite-ish to me. Well, you see what I'm saying. You don't know who's playing that music. And so for reasons like that, that's the reason we don't use canned music. And I say this, and I'll move on about that. If you ever start something, you better be ready to keep it up. You better be ready to keep it up. And so we'll just be staying away from that. We've been headed that direction. We'll stay away from that. You say, well, I was really hoping that we might bring that into the church. Well, I hate to bust your bubble, but we ain't. But I understand that it's tradition. I understand that. I understand it's not law. I understand it's not commandment. Here's why I think it makes me mad, because I really, really wanted to bring those soundtracks in here. Well, you know what the sign of real Christian maturity is when everything don't go your way down to church house and you come on back anyhow. That's a sign of real Christian maturity. Y'all having a good time? That's the sign of real Christian maturity. When everything don't go your way at church and you keep coming back. If I got out of church every time things didn't go my way, I'd have spent more time out than I did in. Well, traditions of men. There's some good traditions. I think we've got some good traditions. The lesson that our text teaches us tonight, and I'll hurry up and close, is this. Make sure that you can identify the difference between doctrine, between Bible doctrine and tradition. Make sure that you know the difference. Your tradition, it's been handed down to you through the generations. It doesn't violate Scripture. It's wholesome. Embrace it. Hold to it. Love it. Honor it. Maintain it. Keep it. But call it by its right name. Every time you identify it, don't call it my doctrine. Call it my tradition. And when you meet another brother who's genuinely a brother, loves God, born again just like you are, but his tradition looks a little different than yours, don't throw him to the curb and call him a liberal or an infidel because his tradition looks a little different than yours. Amen? Well, amen anyhow. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you tonight for allowing us to be here. Thank you for mercy and grace in our life. Thank you for this text of Scripture that you've given to us tonight. God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to always have discernment about us. Lord, help us to be spiritually minded. Help us not to be controlled by domineering personalities that would try to take traditions and lift them up above and beyond what thus saith the Lord. God, help us to take those traditions that have been handed to us through the years, Lord, that are good and wholesome and honorable. Lord, help us to honor them. Help us to hold to them. Help us to promote them and pass them down. But God, help us never be that one that is a domineering personality who comes in and takes a tradition and elevates it to the place of doctrine. Help us to identify it aright. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.